Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
There we go. Well, I feel like Lawrence O'Donnell. There's insanity in my ear. Welcome to this edition of the Hagmann Report. It is Wednesday, November 8th, 2017. A year ago today. Wow, were there tears, huh? And there was a lot of apprehension. Think back to a year ago. This date, a year ago, that is, where there was apprehension among the people in the newsrooms and how they reacted, and think about what's happened since then, the past year. It has indeed been an interesting year, hasn't it? We have seen a lot of changes, but more than anything, what we've seen is this obstruction against the Donald Trump agenda at every turn. Of course, the initial or the main thrust of the obstruction has been within the government, the deep state, the shadow government that's been embedded within the U.S. government by those elected and also those appointed. And then, of course, you've got the obstruction. The secondary aspect of that is the media. So it's really an interesting day to give some, or just to think back over the year and to think back a year from today. Now, we've had a lot of course, a lot happened during that year. And, in fact, we'll probably go over some of that the first hour today. We've got a good show lined up for you, of course. This hour is going to be open for news, information, and analysis. Information that you need to know, and I think it's important that we all, remember what's important, with respect to the news. And that is, Russia collusion, right? No, Russia collusion only as it is with regard to Hillary Clinton and the DNC Democratic Party. It's pretty interesting there. Don't forget, of course, we're following other matters as well. Just kind of a recap, over this past year, what came to light, the One scandal. I've been talking about that on my daily show or my morning show. We've been talking about that collectively here on the flagship show. Imran Awan, Hina Alvi, of course, they've been arrested just on some pretty small counts. And they've got Abid Awan, Jamal Awan. You've got the various other individuals, a part of that group of Awan, Pakistani nationals embedded in the, that had been embedded in the, House of Representatives. And then, of course, you've got the Donna Brazile issue as well that's coming to light. And I'm going to be getting into that in a minute. I want to ask Joe his research on that and his thoughts on that and your thoughts on that, too, as well. But before we get into that, of course, I want to make sure everyone knows we've got 5 hours of programming. Five, count them, five. Doug Hagmann Radio Show, 9 to 10 every morning. Joe and John, the Hagmann Daily Show, and that's 2 to 3 Eastern Time every day. That's Monday through Friday. Once in a while, I'll do a show on the weekend. I did one last Sunday, a special show, because the news warranted it. And that was before the shooting, but the news of the political news warranted that particular show. And then, of course, our flagship show, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network, BTR, and YouTube Live. By the way, the other two shows, because I've gotten some emails on this, the other two shows are only on Blog Talk Radio and Global Star Radio Network. We're exclusive to those two platforms for our two shows, just so you know that. And then, of course, our flagship show, you can add YouTube to that as well. Tonight's broadcast, in part, brought to you by Casper, Casper.com. How are you sleeping at night? You sleeping well? You sleeping comfortably? Let me ask you. Casper It's a fantastic mattress. It's a fantastic product. We have Casper mattress here at the Hagman household. My wife and I both love Casper mattresses. Our guests, when they stay over, we have a Casper mattress for them, designed by humans for humans. The quality is unmatched, selection and convenience, of course, as well. But a special offer for you, I'll be talking about later on. So stay tuned. Casper.com/CFB Radio is the URL. But let's get right into some issues here. I mentioned Donna Brazile. And, mm-hmm. Okay. How many people have been following that whole, the evolution of Donna Brazile?
I think a lot. I've been getting emails asking my opinion on her one way or the other, asking about what I think her motivations are, whether it's selling books or wanting to come clean. On our show, on The Daily Show, we looked at a number of things from her past to her personal life. She identifies as a lesbian. Also in her book, she identifies as a Christian who likes to listen to gospel music. She's been working in politics, specifically with the Democratic Party, for over 40 years. And she was appointed to the head of the DNC after Wasserman Schultz was removed. And she was associated with the Hillary Clinton campaign in many ways.
She was the interim head after
giving the debate questions.
Right.
And now we see her book that is coming out about...
It has come out.
Yeah. Yeah. About what is happening, what happened inside the Hillary Clinton campaign and the DNC from the primaries to all the way running up to the election. And there's a lot of claims that she makes, and it's getting a lot of reaction in the media and in the world of politics. Now, one thing that's interesting is that we don't see Hillary Clinton coming out and denying her claims, the claims of Donna Brazile, except that they issued an open letter to her saying that she was the victim of Russian propaganda, but nothing specific as far as saying, yes, I had this agreement, no, I didn't have this agreement. And the media continues to protect Hillary Clinton. And one of the things I found today, which is interesting, which might shed light onto why the media is protecting Hillary Clinton, then we'll get back to Donna Brazile, is journalists suspected of taking bribes to spread Russian collusion. House Intelligence Committee suspects journalists may have been paid to report on alleged Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. This is why Fusion GPS financial records are being looked into, and the House Intelligence Committee signed a subpoena to force the bank to turn over Fusion GPS's financial records. They want to see if payments were made to journalists that were pushing the Russian allegations that were out there. Now, Donna Brazile's motivations could be a number of things. One, it could be to sell books. One, it could be to score political points. It could be to...
Hold on a second, because road here that you mentioned about the journalists being but possibly being paid for their talking points or to direct the narratives, mm-hmm. or direct the stories. How many people remember back in 2010? I believe this was initially, I think it was 2010. I'll have to check my notes. Remember the 157 names, the names of 157 journalist. There was a journalist, kind of a play off the word journalist, but it was a journalist. And on that list were 157 different names that were identified. Names that you would recognize in various websites and print media that you would recognize, as well as television media. Just to throw one out there, I could throw a lot out there, but Dana Goldstein, The Daily Beast, Newsweek, Michael Hirsch, Ezra Klein from The Washington Post, Newsweek, and The American Prospect. Now, I'm not naming these names. These were the names on this journal list. But these are the individuals that reportedly, all 157 reportedly, were working with the Obama regime and the DNC primarily, to discuss to paint a good picture for right. the
to shape
the narrative, right? And I dislike that word. I dislike the word narrative. I dislike the word meme. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's just my old fashioned style, but I just don't like those words. And I'm trying to.
I have some I don't like myself.
Trying to figure out though, what can we use in their place, and what do we use before? But having said all of that,
storyline, maybe?
Storyline. Yeah, that's okay with me. But okay, go on. But I want to remind people about that journo list, and you can go ahead and search that JOURNO and then the word list all crunched together. But journo list, and remember what that was all about back then. But go ahead.
So in her book, it makes a lot of different claims from her actually dedicating the book to what she says is Patriot Seth Rich. And she gets into that in the book a little bit. Now, what's interesting is, at first I thought there was something here too, with the way she was referring to Seth Rich. She did an interview on Sunday morning with George Stephanopoulos, where she stated that, she said something along the lines of, you did not have to, work with Hillary Clinton being the head of the DNC. You did not have to bury a child, Seth Rich.
Right.
And in that context, it sounded as though she was relating the death of Seth Rich to something to do with the DNC and Hillary Clinton presidential run. But if you read the excerpt from her book, she goes on in the same sentence. She talks about Seth Rich to talk about the Russian hacking and how she believed the Russians could have done it. And then that's when she says she had closed her blinds for fear of snipers getting her, which, okay, whatever. But she makes a lot of
other allegations. Okay, stop there too, because I wanted to mention this. I went through yesterday after the show last night. I spent hours, and actually, I didn't leave here until around 2:30, and then came back in here at 5:30. So, but all that said, I went through hours of other shows, from Michael Savage to Sean Hannity's mm-hmm. radio show to Rush Limbaugh over the last couple of episodes, and I played on my show this morning a 4-minute clip of Rush Limbaugh talking about Donna Brazile.
Okay. I didn't hear that.
All right. And here's what I thought was really interesting. He did grab onto that Seth Rich, the connection with Seth Rich, and the fact that she had mentioned this, but also, and I think this is the bigger story here, the timing of the book and the timing of this admission, and also how the media and the Democratic globalists are treating her, and how they're kind of eating her and going after mm-hmm. her and marginalizing her. So I think that there is some fire to that smoke that we see with regard to Seth Rich and her admissions there.
Well, also think about this. If journalists were being paid off to spread stories that promoted an anti-Trump storyline or narrative, and they were in bed with the Clinton and Obama administration, it would make sense why their reaction 1 year ago today was so dramatic and over the top. We played a clip on our show today in the first few minutes that was a compilation of media personalities' reaction to Donald Trump winning. And from Rachel Maddow to Lawrence O'Donnell. I think Hannity played the same thing on his radio show today. But you heard this, that they kept talking about doomsday and how dreadful it was, and how they felt like they were dead or their life was taken away from them.
It's a nightmare. You're not living, or you're living a nightmare.
But what if that part of the reason they reacted that way is because they knew now that Hillary Clinton was not going to be the president, that they potentially, all these secrets could be uncovered about the collusion between the Clinton campaign and the mainstream media. And just all the other things that were ongoing there to try to delegitimize Trump in the years and months leading up to the election, and possibly taking money to push stories that were not true, or to create an agenda.
Right.
Is that part of the reason why they reacted the way they did? That's a very real possibility. But Donna Brazile, we have to question her motivations. We have to take everything with a grain of salt. And if she, what some of the things she's claiming, it should be very, I don't want to say simple, it should be, you should be able to verify if there was an agreement in place with Hillary Clinton campaign and the DNC.
Well,
how can we
there
get
was.
That out to the public?
Now, there was an agreement in place. The DNC was left $24 million in the red by Obama.
And Hillary paid 80% of that, I think.
Right. With the understanding that she would head that she would manage the DNC.
Yeah, employment, she would oversee basically what Donna Brazile did, the day-to-day operations, who was employed in what positions, where the campaign, both statewide and nationwide, would spend their money, or the DNC's money, not even their campaign money, but the DNC's money. Then she turned around and gave them, what, $3.5 to $4 million a month allowance?
There was an allowance
made, right?
To keep
the doors open and expenses paid.
Right.
And even at the state level, she siphoned all that money into her campaign.
Which, exactly. So you've got to look at the money into things, obviously, and whoever has the money has the power and the control. It's obvious there. However, I'm looking at Donna Brazile, and what you said, you have to take some things with a grain of salt, because she did lie about her participation in giving the talking points to Hillary Clinton. And she was loyal to Hillary Clinton, but what Rush Limbaugh did say, and I have to agree with this, outside of a couple of Secret Service agents and FBI agents who wrote some books, there's no one is close. This is as close to Hillary Clinton as anyone who has turned on Hillary. In other words, you haven't had this. She was very close to the Clintons, even going back to their White House stay. All right, so for her to turn on them in the way she did, it's unprecedented with respect to the Clintons, who are just powerful, hungry, power-hungry people and nasty people, according to everyone, But anyway, so I don't believe it's to sell books. I believe that she wrote this. Here's my view, and the way I look at it, and the way I explain it today, briefly. If you're dealing with a criminal, or let's say a group of criminals, because that's what we are dealing with, and you get them all into different interrogation rooms, and you've seen this on TV, or police officers listening to this, you could play one against the other, and you can work the suspects against one another. But I think she wanted to, number one, get this book out, get it on record, what transpired. I think it's more of an insurance policy, this book. And I think that there's more. I think the book represents the public part of it. There's a private part that also Donna Brazile has that has not been released and probably is in the hands of people close to her.
But if everything she said was true so far, isn't what she said then, if it can be verified enough to, I guess, where the criminality of Hillary Clinton and the campaign and their working with the DNC between this agreement, the financial controls, is there anything illegal in what Hillary Clinton did? Under election laws,
no, I don't
otherwise.
Think so.
So you're saying there could be a part two to this, where, you said, it would be insurance,
right? And I think I would turn to legal minds, for example, legal minds like Greg Jarrett, for example. I know that there's campaign finance laws, and that there's the Federal Election Commission laws and such. But I don't think what she did with respect to the DNC is illegal. I don't think it. I don't know. I'm not an attorney, but just from listening to legal minds, including Greg Jarrett and including Judge Napolitano, I don't believe that there was anything overtly illegal, at least not what was admitted to within her book, but certainly open toward mismanagement. And I think that was the stepping stone, obviously, that stole the election from Bernie Sanders. And you have to wonder as well, Bernie Sanders got paid off. I mean, I guess there's no wondering about it. Bernie Sanders ended up supporting Hillary Clinton.
Bought a big summer home right after he was done with the primary. I believe it was in Vermont. He and other Hannity interviewed a few of Bernie Sanders' campaign officials the other day. I'm not sure if you saw that.
Yeah.
Where they came out and said that they were basically forced to support Hillary Clinton and not make a big deal out of the primary, or else they would face the same backlash that Donna Brazile is facing now. And that basically, without Bernie giving pushing back against Hillary Clinton, without him making this a public ordeal and involving other people in on this, by keeping quiet, he essentially rolled over and said, sure, here you go, Hillary, we'll support you all the way.
Right. And I think he saw the writing on the wall at that time. So, I think that this is a big deal. And I think that as time goes on, I think more will come out. Now, Donna Brazile was supposedly walking back some of her statements, but not really. That's the way it was, because my wife asked me about that today, when I saw her, and the question came up, was she walking it back? Was she walking some of this back? And the answer is no. I think that the media is trying to portray the fact that she is supposedly walking some of this stuff back, or easing off of the accusations. But it's in the book, it's written, and she's out there, and she's saying not just no, but hell no to being pushed around in the way that she was characterized. But she's also adding some sexism in the book as well. In other words, the accusations that because she was a woman, she wasn't, MOOC, for example, didn't pay attention to her because she was black. There was little attention paid to her, as factors. But now, I'm not sure. Look, I don't know. I wasn't there, but that's, to me, sounds a little bit, questionable. Maybe not, but regardless of that, the substance and some substance of her accusations, I think, or her assertions, I think, are worthy of further investigation. But the fact that this draws Seth Rich into it, and the answers to Seth Rich, it would destroy, obviously, if Seth Rich was identified as the individual, or if it was identified that the DNC hack was actually a leak from within.
And I have information on that.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's an interesting write-up on RT, and it is titled "Zero Evidence for Claims Russia Hacked DNC," says NSA whistleblower. William Binney is the NSA whistleblower who spoke to RT about his recent meeting with CIA Director Mike Pompeo, where they discussed accusations that Russia meddled in the 2016 presidential election by hacking the Democrats. Now, in this article, he goes on to cite the data logs that happened in the transfer of information from the DNC documents that was blamed on Russia agents as an inside job. He said analysts of the data transfer simply do not support the claim the documents were hacked by Russian agents, as the U.S. intelligence community claimed in January. It was very clear it was a local download because of the speed and all, Binney said, explaining how his colleagues set up a test between a data center in New Jersey and another in the UK and could not reproduce the download that took place on July 5th, 2016. The approximate 16 gigabytes of data were downloaded in two bursts, totaling 87 seconds, one with a 12-minute pause between them.
Yep.
It had to be done locally, Binney told RT.
And Binney is absolutely accurate. And when you listen to people, and regardless of what you think of him, George Webb, for example, the investigation he did, but the contacts he made during his investigation as well, the people we've spoken to, this was a local download onto, and based on everything we've been able to determine, a local download onto a or multiple devices, a single device or multiple devices, because of the speed. You couldn't hack that. It was a download locally. So that's true.
Then he goes on to say that there's zero evidence of any collusion between Trump and Russia, and that mainstream media outlets have branded the VIPS analysis a disputed or fringe or conspiracy theory, while failing to apply the same level of skepticism to the U.S. intelligence community narrative that they released. He says their argument is shallow and weak, and when you have to throw labels at people instead of looking at the evidence, there's a problem, he says. So that's how the article ends, and that is on RT. And he also cites examples of the intelligence community from the NSA to other organizations giving evidence to in different situations, from President Kennedy to Nixon, I believe, that he cites here, in something about evidence with Japan in 1983. There's historic examples of intelligence agencies stepping in, providing evidence that is needed to answer disputes, especially political disputes. And here we're a year out from the election, and there has been zero evidence of any type of Trump-Russia collusion, yet we have the investigation is ongoing, and indictments are sealed. There's still more to come.
Yeah, after the break, I want to talk to you, and we should talk about the indictments, because Reddit, 4chan, and look, we know, okay, we know, you don't have to send emails and stuff. We know about the plus, plus, plus. We know about that. We know about the anonymous. We know about the, we know,
read everything.
We know about that. All right, but and Huma's indicted, or Hillary's indicted, or
yeah, no, Podesta's arrested.
Yeah, Podesta's in custody, and yeah, he's cutting a deal. Okay, think before you start going down those roads. Don't fall into that deliberate media or the deliberate traps that are being set for the alternative media. Think before you do it. That's not to say don't investigate. Investigate.
You know what's interesting?
What's that?
As you said, the traps that is set in the alternative media, on these other online forums like 4chan and Reddit, and yeah, all these places where people get these are getting this information from about Tony Podesta being arrested and, you know, indictments coming for Hillary Clinton. I've seen this type of information with many other stories, the outlandish, plausible, sounds good, looks good, all theories though. But I don't understand why people are falling for it today. Is it because they want it to be true so bad?
Well, I think
that they're hoping for it. And
the indictments that happened, you know, we saw two indictments, and we know that other indictments are sealed. I'm not exactly certain as to, when you look at the how do I explain this? When you look at the docket, and that's the wrong word for it, but when you look at the, I'll just use that word docket. When you look at it, you can tell that there are other indictments that are sealed and pending.
Yeah.
All right. And you don't know how many individuals are listed
in each indictment.
Exactly. So, you know, just hold on a minute. Is it, this is, well,
we'll look
more,
at this
more on the other side. Yeah, more
back
on the other side, though. You're listening to the Hagmann Report. It is the 8th day of November 2017. A year ago today, Rachel Maddow was crushed, as was Chris Matthews and the snowflakes out there. We're going to be right back. Stay with us.
Visit HagmannReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced, Blue Wink Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Perata's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
In uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagmann. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagmann takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden.
exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back to this edition of the Hagman Report. A year ago today, we had a lot of tears, and not here, of course, but there were a lot of tears within the mainstream media, and of course, the suicide watch for Rachel Maddow and Chris Matthews and others. And what happened to all of the celebrities who said, "No, I'm going to flee. I'm moving out of the United States." Did they move? I don't think so. I think they're still here. According to the latest information we have, that's a shame. Such a shame. But anyway, getting back to the geopolitical area of things today, we were just talking about the indictments. Look. It's real simple. It's not that simple, but to say that, for example, Hillary Clinton or Huma Abedin or someone else that has been indicted, to me is irresponsible, because there's only really three places that could come from: the special counsel and the team within the special counsel, the grand jury itself, or the person being indicted, if they know, even. All right, and they would only know either as a courtesy or as a courtesy by the special counsel to say, get your affairs in order. Which is sometimes does happen. Unless, of course, your name is Paul Manafort, and then they just bust into your house at 5 in the morning. But any leaks would be not unprecedented, certainly, but I'd be very careful. So the stuff that you see on 4chan and Reddit, and especially the people who write things anonymously and appear to have these long screeds of information, I'd just be very wary of that. It's not to say that there may not be some value and merit to the information. I would just be very wary of anyone just posting anonymously saying, well, I know for a fact that this and this is happening. I do see a point where you could, Senate investigation, I mean, Grassley's committee, for example, looking at the emails, the Hillary/Huma emails, Judicial Watch, their fruits of their labor, Tom Fitton and his group of people, which really Grassley should be doing and their committee should be doing, but you've got this private entity, Judicial Watch, doing. Yeah, there will be additional indictments. Now, it's my understanding, I don't know whether you heard this show because we haven't really spoken about this, but it is my understanding that there are additional indictments, at least two more coming perhaps as early as this Friday again. Have you heard that?
I've seen a few things on social media about, you know, indictments filed today, sealed indictments filed today, but there was no way to connect them to anything that Mueller was doing, or no way to differentiate where those sealed indictments came from.
Right.
And then, you know, you hear stuff, last week we heard, you know, the possible indictment of General Flynn and his son.
There's some merit to that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, outside of the anonymous postings, there is some merit to that where Flynn and or his son, you gotta go back to the 31 page indictment that was against Manafort and look at the footnotes, endnotes, and the periphery of that investigation. And also you kind of have to watch the actions of the special counsel and their team, including Weissman, and what are they targeting. So Flynn, I don't think, is that far of a reach, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, I don't think he is either, but his son, that's a different story in itself. But I don't know where, you know, a lot of people seem to have two, there's obviously only two trains of thought on this. Some people are worried that it's going to have further reaching implications inside the people that work with and around Trump, or did at least during his campaign. And then you have another group of people who believe that Mueller is going to go and start indicting people from the Hillary Clinton campaign and people associated with that there. So at this point, we don't know. I don't expect to see any Podestas, any Clintons caught up in indictments. Yes, do they need to happen? Absolutely. But do we expect Robert Mueller and the very swamp who has been working tirelessly to even protect Hillary Clinton a year after the election to turn around and suddenly go after her? Absolutely not. I don't expect that.
And I've seen comments, and I'm sure people are commenting right now, well, I believe Mueller is working on behalf of Donald Trump. Yeah, you really think that? Now, what in the world would give you that idea? Look at, you know, it almost sounds plausible until you realize the long-standing professional and personal relationships between Mueller and Comey, and then you have to look at the actions of Comey and the McCabe. You got to toss Andrew McCabe in there. And then you've got to look at, and don't forget, Mueller was FBI director, second longest FBI director, second only to J. Edgar Hoover. And look at his dealings with Hillary Clinton. And since when, I'll just toss this out there, since when does the director of the FBI act in concert with the Department of State to deliver uranium on a tarmac?
Right.
Okay. You really, okay, so all that, consider just what I just mentioned there. You really think that Donald Trump actually is, and the way Mueller was appointed with the recusal of Jeff Sessions, leaving Rosenstein, and this couldn't be planned as well. How Comey leaked that memo to his professor buddy, who leaked it to the news, which caused the recusal, which caused then Rosenstein to appoint his buddy, Mueller, as special counsel. That certainly does not suggest, when you lay this out in a linear fashion, that certainly does not suggest Mueller is working on behalf of Donald Trump, unless I'm missing something really big. And boy, you'd have to convince me. You'd have to get me drunk, I guess. I don't know. I don't believe that for a minute. Now, could it change? If Mueller has a conscience and he looks at and he wants to get to the truth, could that change? Well,
that we hope so.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Not working for Donald Trump, but working for the truth, and the truth would lead to, the tactics of Huma and, of course, Hillary. But the bottom line is this. Mueller right now was put into place for one purpose only, and that is to take down Donald Trump. That's
right.
That's the only, and the presidency and of course our republic and the will, take away the will of the American people to reverse the elections of a year ago today.
Absolutely.
That's my
and
thing.
Hannity today was talking about James Comey as far as the memo that came out when Comey was looking into the Hillary Clinton investigation, where he stated that it was gross negligence that Hillary Clinton was guilty of, and that apparently was a felony. Now, what I don't understand, he said something about the FBI changing the statute or even possibly the definition of gross negligence, or Comey rewriting it to get away from that term gross negligence, which is...
That's a legal status that appears in the law. Okay, so...
It's actually a crime. I mean,
okay.
And what did he say? Gross incompetence.
Gross negligence. Right. Gross negligence appears in the wording of the statute that applies to the handling of the classified information.
Okay.
Gross negligence, and I think it was changed to a different phrase that means the same, but is not identical to what has been codified. I think it's 18 U.S.C. 1001, perhaps. I'm not sure of the, I'd have to look in my notes, but it's in there. And in fact, I posted, if you go to @HagmanPI, I did post a panel that deals with the, in fact, I might have it right here, just real quick, just, because this is important, okay? And I know, again, Greg Jarrett talks about this, and I defer to legal minds like that, because the law's funny, all right? Okay, with respect to the Clinton emails, here it is. And I did this on my show. Boy, I'll tell you what, my eyes, I can't. The print's so small. Okay, 18 U.S.C. 798. Hang on a second. What did I do here?
All right.
Espionage Act, knowingly and willfully mishandling classified information. So that's 18 U.S.C. Section 798. 18 U.S.C. Section 793, subsection F, is the Espionage Act, mishandling classified information through gross negligence. That's the key phrase. Okay, so 18 U.S.C. Section 793, subsection F, of the Espionage Act details mishandling classified information through gross negligence. That phrase gross negligence was switched to something much less, and it's all semantics. And then you've got 18 U.S.C. Section 1924, which is the public officer's law, which means that given your position, you cannot remove or change, expunge classified material. It's got to be maintained. And then lastly, 18 U.S.C. Section 2071, which is the Federal Records Act. And that is a removal. That speaks to the removal and destruction of government records. And I went over this in my, I think it was last week in my morning show. One of the morning shows. But very important to know. And as well, since we're on laws, when you look at Uranium 1, you get a whole big host of laws. You've got 18 U.S.C. 201B and C, federal bribery statute, federal gratuity statute. You've got mail fraud, which is 18 U.S.C. 1341, 1343, wire fraud statute. Again, 18 U.S.C. Section 666, the program bribery statute. And then you've got Section 1952, which is the Travel Act. And then Section 1931 through 1968, the RICO Act, basically. I'll just leave it at that. So that's on Uranium 1. The previous is on the emails. So now that if you're quick and you can write those down, or just go to @HagmanPI, the panels are up there. I don't know how you do that on Twitter, but I don't know. You could find it, right? I guess you can. I think I punched it over to Hagman Report too. So anyway, so that's that. So there's, and again, with respect to 4chan and Reddit, those postings, how do you feel about that?
I mean, you know, I've been reading a lot of these forums for years now, so I can easily identify what is being put out there as disinformation or a good story or theory versus, you know, fact and evidence. And I believe you have a lot of people on these forums and message boards who really want to dig and find the truth, but you have a percentage who are very good at storytelling, very good at what you would call Tom Clancy type novel writing. And you have people, let me give you an example, and this could be true to some degree, but there's a lot of speculation in it, and it's about the Vegas shooting. One of the big stories on these message boards the last few days is with the Saudi Arabian anti-corruption purge that's been going on. It's been tied, some people have been trying to tie it to the Vegas shooting, saying how because Saudi Arabia owns, you know, the top of the Mandalay Bay, which is the Four Seasons, it was an assassination attempt that didn't work. And
I almost buy that.
Absolutely. That's what I mean. These things are so convincing.
Yeah.
With just the littlest amount of connections or evidence that you have to look at it and say, okay, what can I prove? What can I, but I mean, it's a great story and it makes more sense than anything the media or the law enforcement has told us so far.
Which is really nothing, but.
I mean, there's areas in here of things you can't prove, like was there actually important Saudi princes who they mention at the hotels or in Las Vegas at the time? This, you know, depends on what Paddock's role was. And I mean, it's great stories. There's excellent stories in here. And a lot of times, as you just said, they make more sense than what the actual truth is sometimes. But without the evidence or corroborating evidence to put it together, it's just that, a story. And until that evidence is forthcoming with this story or any other story that's on these message boards, we have to be careful and we have to proceed with caution.
Yeah, I look, I have a problem with just relying upon the open source information from anonymous postings on message boards. During the day, just so you know what we do, we talk with other people who are, that we don't name because we just don't name them, all right? We don't have them on as guests, but they provide background information for the material we talk about. And just as a thumbnail, for every hour of talk like this we do, there's probably 3 hours of preparation that goes into that. So, you know, without the guests, it's just pure information. So, you know, for Joe's show, for my show, it's about 3 hours of prep time. And that's a rule of thumb average. So having said all of that, when you get people who come on this program or other programs who are just relying on open source information and evaluating that alone, that's pretty deficient. And so I believe irresponsible to rely upon your intuition and your and open source information. You can, unless you say, well, this is my, you know, my opinion, but to roll it out as fact is something different. I don't know if that makes sense, but this, we need to watch. I do believe that lastly, Sean Hannity's making a difference. I do believe that Laura Ingraham is making a difference in the people in the corporate world. And other people are taking notice now, including Rush Limbaugh. They are making a difference because they're bringing out the, through repetition. And it's sometimes frustrating because this is, you know, you might say, well, this is all they're talking about. Uranium One. We've known about this for how many years now?
Mm-hmm.
Yet, it's important because now it's gaining traction. Now we have to push even harder. So you may think you've heard this, but all of the little nuances, it's, to me, it's very important to really get into the nooks and crannies to really clean all of that out and to be very precise in what we say. So Uranium One, I believe, is one aspect. The emails is another aspect. And then, of course, you've got those are the core issues with respect to Clinton, along with Brazil turning on Clinton and the DNC, that whole DNC mess, including the Awans, which I mentioned at the beginning of the show. So all of this together, before Congress and Fusion GPS. By the way, Fusion GPS, did you happen to see where the Russian attorney who
met with Trump Jr.
Yeah.
Met with Fusion GPS officials before after the meeting with Donald Trump Jr.
Yeah.
Yes, I heard that on Hannity on the way over here, and he said it looks to him like it's a setup. And what's interesting here is, okay, I guess I don't understand completely Fusion GPS's role in the Hillary Clinton campaign.
Well, they were.
Because we see on
they were hired by Perkins Coie. Okay, think of it this way, Fusion GPS, although it's a group of three journalists, Glenn Simpson and two others, they think of them being as like a PI doing a background check.
Okay, so they're a third party company, right, contracted to do some form of service.
Right, and the DNC, or officials thereof, hired Perkins Coie. Perkins Coie spent $9 million for that dossier, if that's what you want to call it.
Jeez.
$9 million that involved Christopher Steele, that was then used as the basis for the FISA warrants and wiretaps against Donald Trump. At the same time that Obama was doing the Obama changed the rules to allow Rice and others within the inside and outside the intelligence communities to unmask and to spread the names of the campaign people of Donald Trump before the election, after the election, and around Inauguration Day, which gave rise to what we're seeing today. I hope that makes sense.
No, it does. And I'm glad you laid it out, because think about this. With the media hyperventilating and going crazy over this Russian collusion slash opposition research claims against Trump and members of his campaign, they, it turns out, were the ones that paid, you know, the Russians for the dossier. Fusion GPS met with the lawyer from Russia that Donald Trump Jr. met with before and after Donald Trump Jr. met with him.
And there it is.
So if
there's
outrage and crimes committed by Donald Trump Jr., then it's just as much on the Hillary Clinton campaign as well.
But
you don't hear the backlash. You don't hear the media hyperventilating.
But it's even worse than that. It's a setup. Think of it this
way.
You've got a handler, and you meet with the handler before the setup and then after for an after-action report. That's what I'm reading into this. It's kind of as simple as that. Now, I know that there's some additional things, but that's kind of how it works out. But so,
and then explain to me, how can Trump Jr. get in trouble for meeting with somebody under a context, two different contexts, one of adoption laws, and then two,
right,
it was opposition research against Hillary Clinton, which he never received any information or materials from this lawyer. But that's a
precisely
problem. But, you know, Hillary Clinton and her associates and third-party contractors can pay millions of dollars to have one created from, you know, Russians and people associated with British intelligence, but that's
right.
That's okay. That's you know,
well,
that's not a problem.
And the other aspect of this that I think people are missing too, and this is a huge part of this, is the venue. Where did all of this take place? It took place where? At Trump Tower. Now, Donald Trump was not incorrect. I mean, he was correct. Maybe the word might be more archaic when he said he was wiretapped. He was under surveillance for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And that surveillance was a political, it was the weaponization of the intelligence apparatus against Donald Trump, against the political opposition, which only happens in third world countries and, of course, the Obama regime. Joke, I guess that landed flat, but, The fact that this meeting was set up for and conducted in Trump Towers, I believe, was deliberate and even, shall I say, convenient for the surveillance of the, somebody coming, let's say you've got a bunch of people living in your house. And only one of those people in your house is the target, in quotation marks, of this warrant. You go in there, and the individual that's the investigator goes in there, talks to this one person, but around them, in the same vicinity, are all of these other people that live there or work there. You gain additional knowledge and information. Kind of by accident or incidental. We used to, in the investigative business, it was incidental data collection. And that, I think, is what was taking place with respect to this meeting, but it was set up for that precise purpose. I don't know if you get that idea.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. It's just so, as I've been saying on the Daily Show and even on this show, how frustrating it is to sit back and watch the media and their hypocrisy, their double standards, their protection of the corruption and evil in our political system. And then they have the gall to turn around and just bash Trump supporters and anything that Trump does. Kind of switching gears in the last few minutes of this hour. Did you guys see the reaction to, one, the three gubernatorial races won by Democrats in Democratic states yesterday? You have these media gushing from The View, make you feel better about the country today, to ABC and George Stephanopoulos. diversity and inclusion won yesterday, a rejection of Trump. And all these people celebrating, like, you know, they even say, oh, yes, you know, it's the, we're going to take everything in the midterm elections just based on, you know, the Virginia gubernatorial election. It's all nonsense. And we see also, we didn't talk about this yesterday or today, Rand Paul. Rand Paul was attacked by his neighbor.
Yes. Oh, okay. This is
socialist.
Good. Yeah. Yep.
But apparently that hasn't, the political views have nothing to do with this. Rand Paul was mowing his lawn and he was attacked from behind or the sides whenever he's cutting his grass.
Wait, did you see that? Did you see, before you go further, did you see, hit the mic off for a second.
Okay.
All right. So Taco, we had to take care of business here.
There, a Kentucky newspaper injured Rand Paul, not a perfect neighbor. The newspaper goes on to basically tear down Rand Paul for being a bad neighbor and that he deserved what he got. But the, okay, is it the main one?
You gotta go down a little bit. Yeah, it's, I mean, it's the main one. It's right, yeah. Yeah,
this
that's
one?
It. That went up. Yeah, right there.
Okay. So, yeah. Rand Paul's neighbor blasts attacker. Absolutely no justification for
this. Had nothing behavior. To do with this. Had nothing to do with the yard landscaping.
Okay, because that's what they first tried to say.
Nothing to do with that at all.
Anyway, Rand Paul has 6 broken ribs. He had a lung that was punctured.
Yep,
and he has fluid all around his lungs. Pretty serious injuries.
Yep.
For just a little minor dispute. But long story short, here he was cutting his grass. He was tackled, blindsided by his neighbor of 17 years, an anesthesiologist, while he was mowing his lawn. And this guy was only charged with a 4th-degree misdemeanor, even though Paul's injuries were serious. And on the other side, we'll get into what this article is saying, because I haven't read this. I'm going to go through this during the break. But what was this dispute about? We will find out on the other side. You're listening to this Wednesday edition of the Hagmann Report on this one-year anniversary of the election, 2016 presidential election, where Trump shocked the world, specifically the media in this country and the political establishment, and it's a day
Booyah.
To remember. And I went back and watched The Daily Show today. We played a bunch of clips of, you know, different people's reactions to that, and that was a feel-good moment. We'll be right back.
Greenovative. Go to HagmannReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the GMAG Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right, you need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super GMAG Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, yeah, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available, anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, and that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. A Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's smoke. Fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove in an ammo can. For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com, PreciousTimberProfits.com.